Good evening, Portland. The time is 7 p.m., and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Today, we will be broadcasting live from the protest that is happening from some of the KBOO correspondents, just waiting on phone calls. We're going to be opening up the phone lines for people to talk about some of the protests that were happening in the last few days and over the weekend. For those who do not know, there is a curfew set tonight for 8 p.m. That's been the case for the last two nights. In the timeline does start a satch where there were peaceful protests over the weekend, and slowly towards the evening time they became more and more rambunctious, and there was some property damage. At about, I think it was like, I'm looking here at the police broadcast that is online from the police department and the Portland Fire and Rescue online feed. At about 9 p.m. on Saturday at Southwest, that was once things started catching on fire, just about at 9 p.m. is when people started getting arrested. 7 arrests were made. Then later on, by Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, there were about 13 more people arrested, and the names were released later on. After all of these protests and all of the things that were happening, we did manage to get some of the audio from the Friday protest. So I'm going to be playing some of that, as well as trying to get in contact with our KBOO correspondents on the scene right now. If you were on the scene, are on the scene now, you can also give us a call. The phone number is 503-231-8187. We just wanted to keep you updated on what is happening around town following in the response to the murder of George Floyd. And here are some of the audio that we have.
For me, for my generation, I'm talking to everybody else, we need to stop this. You know, if you have a parent or somebody else that's racist, you know, you just gotta talk to them. You know, racism shouldn't have lasted, and it's still going through here every day.
Should not have to lay down with my son at 16 years old at night, and I constantly have to pray for him and pray over him and pray with him and pray for him to move forward and to move on. So some of you out here, I notice a lot, we're from the South. We're from the segregated South. I've experienced more racism in the Northwest than I have from Paris, Texas. That's a problem.
I am 18 years old, and yet I've had to school people who are 45 and who are 50 years old who don't understand what I had to go through in my childhood. My roommate is 45 years old, and he told me I should feel safe to have the Homeland Security or whatever the f*** patrols my neighborhood following me while I run at 9:30 p.m. I should not have to be followed by my neighborhood police officers when I am running.
Thank you, everybody who has shown up here today. Despite there being a pandemic in this country that is killing black people before it is killing everybody else. I myself am Afro-Latino. I came here to this country when I was 7 years old. My family is from El Salvador. We have been working at raising your kids and cleaning your lawns, cooking your food, picking your berries, and dying in the fields, like animals. They don't care about us in the meat factories. Everything you eat, everything you touch, everything you wear has been sacrificed to you by black people and people from the global South around the world. And from day one, America has been based off of the subjugation of black and indigenous people. living in a police state. For every 1 cent you make, the boss makes a dollar, $2. How much you think it is? $100. America's injustice under capitalism has only magnified in the past decade. The rich have gained over $300 billion in the past 2 months.
Eat the rich.
F*** them. They're mad because of a target. They're mad because of target. No. It's the time for peace and talking and having communication with the police. It's over. They could have come to us with peace after Trayvon Martin. They could have come talk peace after Ferguson. They could have talked peace after Mike Brown, after Breonna Taylor, but no. They wait until they kill every last one of us, until a pandemic has taken our children, our elderly, our weak, our workers, and then they say they want to talk peace. Hell no. If they continue to keep housing from you, they keep school from your children, they keep food out of your mother's mouth, you have the elderly bent over with age serving you food in restaurants because old white people are angry they can't get their hair cut. They want your grandma to die? Your abuela? All of y'all have to stand up for those children, amen, those elderly, those people who lost their lives and fought most of their lives, if they're still here just for you to exist. They fought lunch counters for you to be able to sit, and now these white people want to tell you that you need to die to serve them at Applebee's? Hell no! Don't do it! Take the houses! There are 6 empty homes for every homeless person in Portland, Oregon. Do you understand that? Take the houses. These houses belong to you. These houses been yours. This land is our land. These buildings, they're standing empty. Downtown, all these offices can't even get sold at the price they're trying to sell them at. Take that house and don't pay them a goddamn thing. Let them find mercy in their hearts in the afterlife. The same way that our ancestors have never known peace. Never rested in peace, never seeing their grandbabies get the education and power that they deserve. Never, not a goddamn day we have been able to sit in peace in this country. And I ask before I go, I will bring you a song of my indigenous people, although it is in Spanish, another colonized language that colonizers brought. Aquí estamos y no nos vamos. Y si nos llevan, nos regresamos.
Here is audio from Kate Brown press briefing earlier today, courtesy of Oregon Live.
Real reforms to our criminal justice system, which incarcerates Black Americans at five times the rate of white Americans. I count myself as one of the many white politicians whose good intentions haven't done enough to tackle the scourge of systemic racism. Yes, we passed juvenile justice reforms last year, but it took us too many years to get this done. We must go further. Yes, we have begun to invest in our justice system to reduce harsh prison sentences and reinvest the savings in crime prevention and drug treatment. But we are only scratching the surface. We sit here today amidst a global pandemic that has sickened and killed Black, Latinx, Pacific Islander, and other communities of color at disproportionate rates. Racism and racial disparities impact every part of our culture and our economy. And the pandemic has further exacerbated these disparities. People of color are less likely to have the income or the savings that make it easy to stay home from work. People of color are more likely to work on frontline jobs during the pandemic, in our hospitals, in our agricultural and food processing industries, in grocery stores, and in home health care. People of color are less likely to have access to high-quality health care coverage, and the list goes on and on. As we work to reopen the economy and build a safer and stronger Oregon, I am committed to putting the needs of our marginal communities at the forefront of our recovery plan. You will see more of this in the days and the weeks to come. Words are not enough. We need action. We need collective action. The Oregon Health Authority will be releasing details on this and other community-specific testing sites in the next few days. But now, before I turn the microphone over to my colleagues, let me say a few words about the dynamics of the protests, particularly here in the city of Portland. On Friday, thousands of people gathered at several peaceful
this
protests.
This is KGW News at Sun.
Then, very late at night, much smaller groups decided to break windows and damage property. Senseless violence does not honor George Floyd's death or create accountability. Only the hard work of racial justice will. On Saturday night, there were more protests, some additional property destruction, and the city instituted a curfew. Mayor Wheeler asked me over the weekend to mobilize the National Guard and put them in direct confrontation with protesters. This wasn't the first time that the mayor asked to mobilize the National Guard, and not the first time I have declined. Last night, rather than putting soldiers on the streets of Portland, I directed the Oregon State Police to deploy additional officers to support Portland Police and the Sheriff's Department. We took these state police from other communities and sent them to Portland to assist the city and the sheriff's office. We also had 50 National Guard members on standby nearby and ready to deploy within minutes in the event local law enforcement found themselves overwhelmed. Last night, they were not requested. I want to thank Superintendent Hampton and the state police for their dedication, their flexibility, and their willingness to answer the call of service. This morning, the mayor renewed his request for National Guard members. In other cities across Oregon, local mayors have had very collaborative relationships and are able to share law enforcement personnel between cities and county. This used to be the case in Portland, and I encourage the mayor to rebuild these collaborative law enforcement agreements with neighboring counties and communities. Now, after three nights of protest, local law enforcement personnel are in need of assistance. After consulting with Oregon State Police Superintendent Travis Hampton, I'm sending 100 state police from around the state at state expense to support the Portland Police Bureau.
That was Governor Kate Brown talking about the National Guards that she has decided to deploy. And on the line right now is KBOO's Heather McCoy. Heather, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So where are you right now, and what do you see?
So we're on the Burnside Bridge. We have there's a great number of people that were just laying down on the middle of the pave as a demonstration of police brutality and what happened in Minneapolis. And now we're moving again. We've got the helicopter flying overhead. There's no sign of police presence anywhere. We have stopped traffic. We're starting to move again. And I have no idea where we're going, but it's part of the adventure.
And are there any kind of National Guard presence or just the helicopter?
I have not seen any National Guard. This started as a fairly small protest. I got here around 4:35, and it was a very small protest. It has grown to something that is probably bigger than even Sunday. It is large. I'm guessing at least 7,000 to 10,000, maybe 12,000 people here just eyeballing it.
That is a massive amount of number. And what is the general feelings around? Is there any kind of property damage, or is it more of a peaceful kind of marching?
There's no property damage. Nobody's doing any of that. Last night, people were starting to throw bottles at police holding the line in front of the Justice Center. And to this night, nobody's throwing bottles. It's completely peaceful. It's somber. We're kind of stopped on the Burnside Bridge again. We moved and now we're stopped.
And are you headed towards downtown or where?
We are headed towards Kebu on the east side of the river.
Oh boy. Well, And you were also at the protest last night. You're saying that the vibes are kind of different. Can you describe what it was like last night?
Last night it was a lot more. People were on edge, and there was a lot of open anger. Today feels more like a mourning rather than just open anger. And so there has been some like anger expressed. Like there's a woman who grabbed two Portland Police Bureau members, and we were on, I think, First Street, and I don't remember the other one, but they have a big blockade around the court center now, Justice Center now, and she grabbed them and then led them to the waterfront park, and then they tried to, like, go, oh, these are our friends now, blah, blah, blah. And then two women protesters are not having any of it, and then they got into a very heated discussion. So there is a little bit of an edge here, but it's not just like outright anger that is showing at the moment.
And how is it as far as the social distancing? Are people wearing masks or trying to keep social distancing?
People are the social distancing. I mean, it's not happening. We're probably going to have a huge outbreak of COVID after this. I've been trying to keep a social distancing. Typically, when I cover protests, I get really close to things. And I have been trying with my bicycle as well to try to keep people at least 3 feet away from me and just walk my bike places. And then I'll, like, push myself against the building. And then I have my bike out. And then that kind of creates a buffer. But everyone is just jammed together. There's no social distancing happening whatsoever.
Are you seeing any presence of elected officials or any kind of grassroots organizations that you usually see during these protests?
No grassroots organizations at all, no leaders. It's just like we're kind of marching all along our own. There were some Black Lives Matter leaders I did see, and I marched with them last night. But there's no, other than that, there's no leaders. There's not even like weird organizations handing you their pamphlets. It's just like, this is just one purpose, one cause, to say that Black Lives Matter and stop police brutality. And that's about it.
And do you, I guess, as a reporter, I know you've been doing this for a while, as a reporter, do you think that the response from Kate Brown this morning is appropriate or even helpful to the cause?
I mean, she tried to have both ways, have her take both ways. One thing I've noticed as an observer, and this is just, I'm going from reporting to editorial right now, just in case it isn't very clear. One thing that's been very noticeable is the protests have been outnumbering the police multiple nights. And so you really wonder, how much, like, lineup, how much of a depth of a bench does the state have in the form of Portland Police Bureau? And so, like, in a way, I'm surprised that Kate Brown didn't want to show overwhelming force to enforce a curfew. I had to go at 8:15 last night. I got hit with tear gas, and it just, like, it made me, I got it clear, but then I was so nauseous I had to go home. and I watched the feeds of the protest from on Twitter. And so, like, they wanted to clear out the protest last night at 8 o'clock prompt, and they just didn't have enough manpower to do it. So, like, I am really surprised it hasn't been a more, like, heavy-handed response by Kate Brown and having actual National Guard on patrolling right now.
Well, here over in the background, there's some chanting happening.
Yeah, they're saying whose streets are streets. That's one that's been a favorite. And then there's been a numbers of different protests. Ones, hands up, don't shoot, which of course happened. That started in Ferguson. So there's been a number of different chants that I've heard tonight.
From the original night when people started getting arrested, you could tell from the published names and ages, it seemed like it was mostly young people. Is that also what you're seeing tonight, today?
Well, so I've done a lot of demonstrations, and the reason why they're mostly young people is you don't see a lot of people here that are over 40. This is a young adult youth, if you want to call them. This is a young person's protest. There's been a few older people that have joined in. And, for the most part, the demographics here just skew really young. The rest, I think, follow the trend, demographic trends I've been seeing in the last few days.
Well, that's really fascinating. I can't believe. And you said, how many people are you seeing? Just about a guesstimation.
We keep adding some. So, like, right now, if you want to visualize where I'm at, I'm barely on the bridge. So, like, I'm maybe, if you had to take a tape measure from the water's edge, I'm probably 100 feet on the bridge as far as being over water. People behind me, I was behind everybody. People are filling in back of me, and then I can't even, because the hill is going up, I can't even see how many people are in front of me anymore. So it's gotten, we're adding people, if anything. So it's getting even bigger.
That's amazing. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is really unbelievable. Just like an aside, like, I was kind of getting depressed a little bit when this thing started, because, like, this is a really amazing energy I felt in the last 2 days. And I didn't want it to dissipate. And when I first arrived, and maybe there's maybe 500 people, I'm like, oh, crap. And this is amazing.
Yeah, I can't even fathom so many people. It's going to definitely be a handful to try to keep it within the boundaries of tonight's curfew. Do you have any kind of, I know I don't want, you know, make any guesses, but if you, just from your experience, do you think that the curfew is going to be posing an issue as far as taking extra precautions and, you know, enforcing it?
I was past curfew last night, and I know they didn't start going home until maybe 11:30, just because I was following Twitter feeds. This is not ending at 8. I can already tell you that. We're looking at, like, 7:24 on the clock right now. There's no way that everyone's dissipating in 30 minutes. I have no idea how long this is going to last, but we're breaking curfew again. I already know that.
Wow. That's unbelievable. And this is on the line is KBOO's Heather McCoy reporting live from the demonstration that is happening right on Burnside. Kate Brown today sent about, was that 100 state troopers to protect Portland, the Oregon Live reports. And as we can hear, the curfew of 8 p.m. sounds like it's not going to be held. So, Heather, do you think that you're going to be sticking around and possibly getting tear gassed again tonight?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's kind of the thing. I think that's one of the reasons why young people are driven out here is a lot of young people work jobs that are considered essential, and employers put them in harm's way. And so I think one of the reasons why you don't see social distancing is my employer's going to kill me, or I can die like both hands swinging, and so I might as well make a stand for something. So I don't hear a lot of commentators saying that, and I think it's because they have very cushy jobs. I'm looking at KGW, Channel 6, and I think that's one of the reasons why this has just gotten, there's so much passion around this.
it's definitely, there's a lot of intersectionality between all of it, and it's and then on top of it, just the COVID pandemic, it just it's this underlying pandemic that's on everyone's mind, and to see people still going out is really it's they're risking their lives whichever way you look at it, so it's really unbelievable.
Yeah, you're risking your life for COVID, and you're risking your life through our cops. And then if you've been following, like, Twitter, especially Twitter, like, the cops are out of control. Like, if you notice how much violence they're instigating on protesters. And so for these people to brave that on top of COVID, it's just a really remarkable show of solidarity for somebody that is, you know, almost that lived almost maybe 2,000, 3,000 miles away in Minneapolis.
It is. Well, we're hearing, is there any type of anything happening around as far as people kind of counter-protesting or agitating the crowd?
I haven't seen any agitators. I will say they weren't agitating, but what yesterday I saw a big white Ford pickup truck that was a later model. It had four white guys in it, and it had no license plates, they were very clearly Nazis. So, like, they were, and I basically was in Pioneer Square when the white pickup truck pulled. I noticed them out of the corner of my eye, and then we just kind of stared each other down, and then the traffic light hit green, and then they moved west towards the west side of Pioneer Plaza. And so, like, They've sniffed around. I've heard reports of Proud Boys on the Burnside Bridge last night, but I've not actually seen them in person. But I did see four white nationalists in a truck yesterday. So they're lurking. They're not making their presence known very much right now.
Well, Heather, I really hope that you stay safe and keep us up to date as much as you can. I know personally I am going to be adhering to the curfew tonight, so I appreciate you being out there and fighting the good fight and reporting on it.
Yeah, if you and your listeners want, like, I can call back in about, like, 7:50, and I can see what we're doing then.
Sure, we'll appreciate that.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Heather.
Okay.
Get back to you. That was KBOO's Heather McCoy reporting from the Burnside Bridge, where, as you can hear, tens of thousands of what it sounds like, thousands of people are gathering together and marching down Burnside to protest the death of George Floyd, police brutality, and so many other things that seem to be coming to surface and showing solidarity for people. I do have some more audio from the protest earlier the last few days that have been kind of percolating to this mass gathering that's happening right now. I do want to remind listeners that you're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7:29, and there is a 8 p.m. curfew tonight that was instituted by the mayor. Governor Kate Brown did sign off for some National Guards to enforce the situation with the gatherings. So here's just some more audio, and we'll get running updates as soon as we get them. Thank you so much for tuning in.
I'm a woman! I am a Native mother! And I am sad! And I am pissed off! And I am here standing with the Black community here in Portland, like you stood with us for Standing Rock! Like you stood with us so many other times before! I am here! With my two beautiful teenage daughters! dinner table. Turn off the TV! Turn off the TV! Turn off the TikTok, your social media and everything, and look your children in the eye and have this conversation with them. My daughters and I have been talking about this for 3 days now, and they are fired up, and everybody here should be too.
I moved here when I was 17 years old, and the school system started me up as a freshman at 17. I graduated high school when I was 21 years old. So I don't know why they did that to me. Maybe because I'm black. Maybe because I was black. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I didn't finish my school in Haiti, but that's how they treat me, right? I'm 29 years old right now, and if my mom know a cop pulled me over, she will die. Because she's gonna think they're gonna kill me. She's not gonna think they're gonna try to save my life. She worries right now. She knows I'm out here. She texts me, son, be careful. Don't tell me to be careful. Go tell the white people to be careful. I work in the school system right now, and it's a lot of racist ass people that are school principals, that don't want us to be in the front of the kids, that think we rapists, that just think negative of us because we're black. A lot of kids come up to me and tell me, hey, I can't be around you because my principal, blah, blah, blah. I don't like that. I just want to help my community. I just want to be an example. I just want to make a difference. But y'all won't let me do it. Why? I want to know why. I want to know why y'all hate me. Y'all don't even know me. Y'all don't know me. And y'all white kids out here running niggas in the wall, in the bathroom wall, because I catch them in the hallway with drugs, because I catch them high, and then they want to be like that to me. Why? Your white people, please talk to your kids. Talk to your white kids, because y'all don't know what they're doing in high school. The principals here, I know there's a lot of people here that works in the school system. Y'all need to be honest with yourself. What you're doing is not right. Let black people get in the school, because we can really make a difference.
Stop.
I understand y'all upset, but like it was already said, I doubt y'all half as upset as I am. So if I'm not over here wilding out, if I'm not over here blowing up stuff, if I'm not over here messing up my community, then what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Y'all doing nothing. Because that's not going to bring my brother back at all. My family is a peaceful family. My family is God-fearing.
Encouraging people to make their voice matter. And vote.
Not just vote for the president, vote for the preliminaries, vote for everybody. Educate yourself. It's a lot of us. And we still going to do this peacefully.
The younger Floyd, pressing for people to keep protesting. He wants anger, he says, but anger that can make change. He also wants those three other officers who were involved to be charged with murder.
Peace on the left!
The Minneapolis Police Chief Madaria Arredondo last night addressing Floyd's family.
That was a little expert, a little part from the CNN report of Terrence Floyd speaking with protesters about how he'd prefer that people would demonstrate peacefully as a result of all of the violence and property damage that ensued for the protest. And on the line, I have KBOO's Asia Hawthorne. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Asia, you are also down on the Burnside bridge or down at the protest. Can you tell me where you're at and what you are doing?
Let's see. We're at the tail end of the march here, and we just barely stepped away from the protest on Southeast Stark and 13th. So that tells you how long this line is, that we barely just left the location, at least the tail end of the group. There's definitely more than 1,000 people here.
Wow. And what are the general vibes around where you're at?
People are trickling through. Like, I thought this was the end, but there's just, they just keep coming. It's awesome. It's a lot of, almost got hit by a car, sorry. There's a lot of solidarity here. It's awesome. The speeches were great. I don't know how the other days have been, but this is, I think, was a great turnout.
And are you seeing any kind of police presence or National Guards or anything of that nature?
There's been like one or two drones and then a helicopter. There's two helicopters. I think one of them is a news helicopter and the other one might be the National Guard.
Gotcha, but they aren't necessarily making their presence known.
No, there's no one on, I don't see anybody on the ground.
Gotcha, okay. And are you seeing a lot of other journalists or a lot of people, I guess, streaming or doing any type of live, like Twitter stuff or any type of live journalism?
Not many. There was maybe two photographers, but that was it.
Gotcha. Well, definitely appreciate you being on the ground and reporting what's going on. I'm just wondering, so you're at the tail end of it. And do you know where the mass is going?
I don't know where the mass. I think we might have reached our location. I hear cheering.
Okay.
Let's see where that destination is.
Gotcha.
Looking first. I mean, we're on Burnside now.
Is there any type of any kind of groups like maybe like Antifa or something like that that are kind of leading the march?
I can't see the head of the march, so I don't know. I do believe some of the people who gave speeches are at the very front, but I actually did not catch what organizations are with them.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, definitely,
there's a lot of people here.
Well, that's what we're hearing, because we did get an update from Heather McCoy as well, and it sounded like there are, you know, at least like thousands of people gathering together, and it sounds like there's definitely more of a peaceful demonstration as opposed to what some would call violent riots. So that's good to hear.
Yes, definitely.
And from your perspective, do you think that the 8 o'clock curfew will be maintained, or is that not going to happen?
Oh, most definitely not. I don't know how we clear out as many people within the next 20-30 minutes. I hope the scene might change, you know, within the hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like everyone is keeping a peaceful and general. It sounds like a cheerful, hopeful type of solidarity,
yeah,
march.
It kind of looks like a parade. They got some nice music playing. The mood is good right now. Mm-hmm. Let's hope it stays that way.
Are you feeling tense at all?
A little.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, trying to dodge cars here. But I think that's all I got for you for now.
Well, that's not a problem. We appreciate you being here and, you know, being there and reporting. And you give us a call if you can, although I will be getting out of here sooner than later because, you know, a little
yeah.
too brown to be on the streets during
sure.
the curfew. So thank you so much for letting us know of the general consensus. And
yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Asia.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's right. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7:40. Just a reminder, there is an 8 p.m. curfew, and that is why I'm going to be leaving here very shortly. We were just speaking with KBOO's Asia Hawthorne about the protest, or like she said, the parade sounds like. There's a general positive atmosphere around this demonstration, what sounds like a solidarity march as a response to the murder of George Floyd. And that's what's happening here in Portland, Oregon. And it's hopefully it'll stay that way. I'm really hoping that it does. I'm really hoping that the violence does not get out of hand. I'm going to play one more clip from the speakers from the march over the weekend, and I'm going to be wrapping it up. Thank you all, and I'll be back in just a moment.
I am a Native woman! I am a Native...
I'm tired of being an angry black man. I'm tired of everybody looking at me funny when I come in the store. My people...
Get your dog up there.
Hey, let me be real. This is my neighborhood. I grew up and I don't need that. I'm loud enough. I don't need no bullhorn. I grew up in this neighborhood. I've been here longer than anybody. I've been around since the Van Port flood. My grandmama and everybody. We grew up right here. This is my And so for me to have to walk around on eggshells all the time because I got to worry about my personal safety because I look like somebody. Because I look like the bad guy. And the sad thing about it is y'all know y'all love us. Everybody love us. Everybody want to be me. Everybody want to wear their pants like me. Everybody want to walk like me. Everybody want to be like me.
Now what I need you to do is repeat after me. Power!
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 All power to the people!
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 Power!
Power!
It's time to get back to these grassroots. Ain't that right, Kid Fuller?
That's right.
My name is Preston Alphonse. I'm the Black Rider Liberation Party, New Generation Black Panther Party. For self-defense.
Yeah.
From the Northern chapter. Right now, we are really bad in the epidemic. This is not nothing new. One thing I want to tell everybody right now, you need to get off your damn phones and record and start getting active. You hear what I'm saying? Everybody probably in this audience, and I'm sure there's some agents out here because I ain't no goddamn fool. Now is the time to get active. If you are not part of an organization or a group, I suggest that you get part of one. I suggest that you create a chain link communicational system.
We do have one more reporter from the Burnside Bridge. Can you hear me, Leslie? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear us?
Hello.
Oh.
Yes.
So where are you at and what are you seeing right now?
I am in the middle of the Burnside Bridge, and I am seeing hundreds of people out here. There was a large demonstration that was just held in the center of the bridge for about half an hour. Some cars were blocking it off on both sides. At the moment, the protesters are sort of gathering together, and I'm not sure which direction they intend to move. My guess is towards the Justice Center downtown, the area where the action has been happening in the last few nights.
And do you see any kind of police presence or enforcement?
There has been a helicopter circling overhead the entire time this group has been here. And I haven't seen any police cars approaching the area. So just about 3-4 minutes ago, I saw a few police cars moving through the freeway on the east side of the river, possibly to bolster reinforcements here. And it looks like this car is actually beginning to move towards downtown right now.
Do you see who is leading the march right now?
There's no singular person at all. There's multiple people with bullhorns. And many people have signs, of course. It seems to be more of a group consensus.
That's interesting. That's real interesting. And you say that you're seeing hundreds of people. And which location of the bridge are you on?
I'm sorry, the chanting is getting a little louder. It's a little hard to hear. I don't know if you can hear it on the air, but everyone is chanting George Floyd. Say his name, George Floyd.
Oh, yeah, we can hear that right there in the background.
She's like Mona. trying to quiet her voice. But we are definitely moving into downtown right now, towards Old Town. And as I said, it's a couple hundred people here, but nothing compared to the size that was out on the street last night. I was down here and it was thousands.
Does it seem like there's less people as the curfew approaches?
Sorry, passing vehicles. You want to ask me that question one more time?
Sure. Does it seem like there are less people as the curfew approaches?
No. That's the opposite, actually. The closer we get to curfew, the more people that are coming out. So in downtown, I actually had to walk all the way up from where the police have barricaded an entire area between 1st Avenue, Southwest 5th, Southwest Jefferson and Southwest Taylor, and it's covered in barricades. And there were not as many large groups like this in that area about an hour ago. But I did hear that there was multiple groups that were trying to coalesce together and join with this group. And there may be another one towards the south side of the Justice Center, but I haven't heard anything in a while.
So mobilizing towards downtown, towards the Justice Center right now.
Correct.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much for the update. I myself am going to head on home, and really, really thank you so much for letting us know what's going on. You have any final words you want to share with the listeners?
I just wanted to say thank you for listening to KBOO Community Radio. Listeners make it possible.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. You too. Stay safe. And I'd like everyone to please, please stay safe out there. I'm not one for calling out calls to action, but please, please stay safe. Take care of yourselves, your neighbors, and thank you all so much for all of your hard work. Thank you, Heather. Thank you so much, Asia and Leslie, for your reporting. This solidarity is unbelievable, and together, you know, we can move mountains. So I'm going to head on home. And if you're out there, please stay safe. If you're at home, I'm going to let you off with some Coltrane, right? Take care of yourselves and each other.
We'll be right back. Thank you.